You're listening to the final day of Missional Church Multiplication Week on the newchurches.com.
Sorry.
What? What? That's awesome.
Yeah, because now it's not fresh daily content. Now they only get a fresh, smoking hot new episode twice a week.
Yeah. It's still fresh.
You have to
It's not daily, patience. Though. Exercise patience.
Yeah,
or you can be like some of our listeners.
It's like sanctification. Kind of.
Or you can, you know, listen again from episode one or episode zero.
Yeah. If they haven't, but I'm assuming that everyone has a listen.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty amazing
if not,
when we have some
binge listen this weekend.
Well, because we do have some of our listeners who have told us that they've listened to like 60 episodes in 6 days.
I had a guy text me. He tweeted me last night a picture of Pipeline and Five Leadership Questions, the other podcast that we do. And he said, this is how I'm spending. I have vacation the next 2 weeks and this is how I'm spending it.
That's
and
awesome. He's spending vacation listening to you say, what?
That's right. And talk about Pipeline apparently.
Hey, it's good content. I mean, and if you've not subscribed and listened to the 5LQ podcast, the Five Leadership Questions podcast,
well,
you have
Pipeline
to do that.
Check out Pipeline, the first Pipeline week in particular. We just did another Pipeline week with people that are going to be speaking at Pipeline. So it was Carrie Newhoff and Tripp and Jenny Catron and Tom Rainer and Tripp Lee.
Yeah. And if you're not registered for that conference either, it's myleadershippipeline.com and do it and hang out with us.
Do it now.
Because it'll be fun.
It will be.
Yeah. And we're going to, I mean, the conference is one day, but we're actually going to be having
coaching days.
The post-coaching day is already sold out. The pre-coaching day is almost sold out.
Yeah. So we went from like 120 spots to 300 spots. So now 420.
For the coaching day.
Yeah. To now 420. And we're, I think, within 40 of selling out.
Yeah. So be sure to check that out and buy your ticket. And let's hang. Seriously, let's hang. Especially tell us that you listen to the podcast.
And then,
And then we'll do even something better.
Let's go get some hot chicken.
Yeah, hot chicken. National hot chicken. Right. Well, today, once again, is the last day of Missional Church Multiplication Week. And if you're just tuning in, be sure to download episode 89 to 92 to listen to four other segments from our Missional Church Multiplication course. The purpose of this week is to give you a taste of one of our premier courses on essential church, on church planting, on church multiplication. I was about to say essential church planting.
That's a really good course too, though.
Yeah, it is. And we did the same thing like this on episode 50 to 54, I believe, on the podcast.
Yep.
None of the coupon codes work anymore because that was a time-sensitive offer. But you can definitely preview Essential Church Planting, get the first three modules for free by going to newchurches.com/essential-church-planting. And it's the same for this course. Go to newchurches.com/missional-church-multiplication, and you can actually experience our course consumption tool, download the handouts, watch the videos for the first three modules completely for free. Well, today we are going to be listening to the audio version of that first module. It's The Five Myths of the Missional Church by J.R. Woodward. Now, if you don't know J.R. Woodward, you have to look him up because he wrote a fascinating book on how to create a missional culture in your church. And in this course, he talks about, especially in this session, the five myths of the missional church. And he actually gives a few more sessions on really helping your church become missional. So be sure to check out the rest of the course to see what else he teaches. But today we're going to be looking at the five myths of the missional church. Now, if you purchase a course before midnight tonight, and this tonight is when the entire deal goes kaplitz. Like, I mean, there's no more. You like that, eh? There's no more deals.
That's not Canadian. I don't think.
There's no more deals after midnight tonight on this course. This is definitely going to be our last one. But if you go to newchurches.com/missional-church-multiplication and enter the coupon code when you check out, when you purchase and check out in the cart, if you enter the coupon code, every course 20 off, okay, it's every course 20 off, then you're actually going to not only get 20% off that course, but if you want to get 20% off essential church planting, you can use that coupon code there as well.
Well, then you lied earlier because you said that we didn't have a coupon code for that
anymore. Well, the response has been so good.
No, that it's just making this up as you go.
I'm not,
I'm
man.
Calling you out. I'm
okay.
calling you out.
Okay, no, but hey,
no, what, earlier, are you, when we talked about it earlier, we just said essential church planning. You were like, but the codes don't work anymore.
Yeah,
you
those can't previous codes.
But you can use a new code.
You
and
can
get
use
20%
this new
off.
Code. Yeah. And that's, you know what? If you purchase awesome. Missional church multiplication any other day this week, you can actually still use this code and purchase essential church planning at 20% off as well. And here's the thing. Okay. If you're a Plus member, you get an additional 25%. So that's up to 45%. We've never ever offered anything beyond 25% off.
Everything must go
at newchurches.com. And I really don't,
at least for 25.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And it's literally going to end at midnight tonight. But here's the thing. You're not only going to get that, you're not only going to get 20% off any course at newchurches.com, but you're also going to get a free copy of The Church's Movement, Starting and Sustaining Missional Incarnational Communities by J.R. Woodward and Dan White Jr. And you'll get a free copy of Planting Missional Churches, Your Guide to Starting Churches That Multiply by Ed Stetzer and myself. So those are, you'll get two books and 20% off. So if you have been hesitating and have been waiting
no more
to purchase this course or even essential church planting, be sure to do that tonight before midnight central. Now, without further ado, let's listen in to J.R. Woodward.
You know, there's a lot of hype about the missional church in the last 10 to 15 years. In fact, I think if you were to talk to 10 leaders and ask them, you know, what is the missional church, you'll probably get 10 different responses. And as Alan Roxborough has said, the word missional seems to have traveled the remarkable path of going from obscurity to banality in only one decade. So I want to take a few minutes to talk about what I would say are five myths as it relates to the missional church, in hopes that we can just gain a better understanding, a historical understanding of how missional church came about. But first, just let me just tell you a little bit about my own story. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I came to faith the summer right before my senior year in my fraternity, like I'm sure most of you guys did. I was PMA way through school, but I couldn't afford school and an apartment. And so I was mentioning this to my fraternity brothers in conversation, and they were Christians, and they stayed in the fraternity to find people like me. And so they invited me to stay with them for free. I thought about it for about 2 seconds. I said, okay, you got a deal. And it was through their hospitality in their lives that I started to look into Jesus and read about the Gospels, and eventually Jesus became my hero, my Lord, and my teacher. And the church that I first became a part of was actually a church plant. And I would say that they were very movement-oriented at a very early time. The Great Commission was our drumbeat. Evangelism and discipleship were practiced and honored in the community. And our battle cry was to reach the world and our generation. That was what our whole lives was about. Most of what I learned in that community was really good, but not everything. There was this heavy emphasis on us accomplishing the Great Commission, and the focus was often on us and what our church could do, which leads to the first myth of the missional church. And the myth is this: the church has a mission to accomplish in the world. You say, well, how is that a myth? I mean, the church does have a mission to accomplish, right? And yeah, that is partly true. But you see, the problem with myths is that they have a lot of truth in them, but a little falsehood, and that falsehood is kind of what can lead us astray in different ways. So the truth is that God has a mission in the world that includes us. You see, at the center of the universe is a missionary God. The Father has sent the Son into the world, the Father and Son has sent the Spirit, and the triune God has sent us. And the point being here is that God is missionary in his very essence. The shift in the missional church conversation is basically from being church-centric to theocentric. As the theologian Jürgen Moltmann said, it's not the church that has a mission of salvation to fulfill in the world. It is the mission of the Son and the Spirit through the Father that includes the church. Can you see the shift there? In other words, there's a mission because God is a missionary God. And since God is on mission, our first posture is not to make a whole lot of plans, but to listen and to discern where is God at work so that we can learn to join him. You know, I remember, just to give you an example of how I failed at this in a lot of ways, the first church plant that at Virginia Tech, I kind of came up with this great plan, you know, like as we were thinking, okay, if we have to reach the world, we got to first reach our campus here. And so I, you know, we had people living in different dorms. And so the plan that, that you know, I thought was a good plan, it was kind of great commission oriented, was to focus on every dorm on campus and have a group kind of really try to be on mission to that particular dorm. Well, it didn't work too well. That didn't mean that God didn't use us. But what happened, what I noticed is that God was working, but just not in the way that I had kind of sketched out and schemed out. God was reaching people, like, and what happened was the band people kind of reached the band people, and the people on the cross-country team tended to share and relate with the people on the cross-country team, and same with the football team. And so things happened. God worked, but it was in a different way that we had planned. It's interesting that after Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, they were first told to wait for the Spirit. And so the disciples, with the rest of the 120, they waited in the upper room. And notice that the first practice of the church was to wait. See, too often we're anxious and we're in a hurry to do things for God, as if movement is something we create, manage, or control. And this is the myth. What we need to digest is that waiting in prayer is the disciplined refusal to act before God acts. You see, when we take charge or take control or start to assume that it's all about us and what we can do, that's where we go wrong. Jesus made it clear that apart from him, we can do nothing. So I started to learn that God is at work in the world, and our first posture is really to stop and listen and discern where he's at work so that we can join him. You see, God is on mission. It's just our job to join in what he's doing. The second myth is that the gospel is just about a relationship with me and Jesus. You know, when I first became a Christian, this was the emphasis I was taught. I was really kind of taught to evangelize people by asking them, you know, if you were to die today, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? And in many ways, the gospel was reduced to a private relationship with Jesus, and the focus was on the afterlife, not this life. Well, what I've learned is that the gospel is not private. Make no mistake about it, it's personal, but it's also public. It's communal, and it's cosmic in nature. You see, the good news is that Jesus is Lord, and he's redeemed everything that was lost at the fall, not just our relationship with God, but our relationship with each other, the reconciliation that he wants between people, our own inner brokenness, and our relationship with creation. You see, when the gospel is reduced to a private affair between us and God, it not only seems self-serving to the world watching, but it becomes irrelevant to the world around us and the problems that we face as humanity, whether it be poverty, senseless violence, ecological disasters, or the breakup of families. And I've discovered that people who hold a reductionistic version of the gospel eventually become ashamed of the gospel because it's not big enough to deal with the problems that we face in the world. You see, a robust gospel not only centers around the death of Christ, but also his life and his resurrection. A robust gospel is not just about making a decision. It's about learning to follow Jesus in the power of the Spirit. It's not just a private thing. It's personal, it's communal, and it's cosmic. And it's not just about the afterlife. It's also about seeing the reality of God's reign in this life. The third myth is that going to church demonstrates that I'm a Christian. You know, I like what Keith Green, who's kind of an old prophetic singer, said. He says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. First of all, church is not something that you go to. If you are a Christian, church is something that you are. We go to a weekly gathering. We attend a worship service, but we are the church. We know we're the people of God when we understand that we're a sent people, that we're by nature missionaries. And just like God is missionary in his nature, so are we. So Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And it was Charles Spurgeon who has said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. So who has God sent you to? Myth number four is that the Bible gives us a theology of mission. You know, again, every myth has an element of truth to it. But the missional church is not so much about having a theology of mission as much as having a missional theology. In other words, mission does not so much need to be justified theologically as theology needs to be understood missiologically. So we need to, in other words, read scripture through a missional hermeneutic, understanding that the Bible was inspired by a missionary God, written by missionaries for missionaries. So a missional theology is about looking at scripture, theology, and practice in light of the missionary nature of God with the purpose of forming congregations that incarnate the good news locally and join God in the renewal of all things. It was Martin Kaler that says it with simplicity and clarity, mission is the mother of theology. And then myth number five is that the missional church is just another fad. I mean, everybody and their mama uses the word missional, but many without an understanding of the historical development and the theological underpinnings. The missional church is not just another fad. It's about the theological imagination, a different way of seeing and experiencing the church in the world. Missional imagination is fundamentally about seeing the church in the world in the light of the triune God's presence and activity, and it really should shape our personal lives, the lives of our church, our leadership, and our structure. So I hope you've enjoyed looking at the five myths of the missional church and the truths that correspond to that, because in our next video, we're going to look at how those five theological truths have really developed some trends toward the future and concrete practices that have come from that. So join us in the next video as we look at the five trends of the missional incarnational church.
Now, if you go to newchurches.com/missional-church-multiplication, you can actually preview the first three modules for free and get what JR was just saying. You can actually have access fully to what he just said with the handouts, that first module, the next one, the latest trends in the missional incarnational movement. And then you also get access to one more for free, why the missional church needs to stop planting churches. So what do you think, Todd?
Well, I love what he talked about when you look at the theology of mission and understanding the historical context. There's so many people that are using that word that it's, you know, I want to like find a GIF from Princess Bride that I don't think that word means what you're thinking means.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Because people are using it as an adjective.
Yeah. They're using it as a style, as a way to depict like a style of ministry rather than understanding that missional is all about being on mission with God in his plan with his kingdom purposes.
Yeah.
And they say, oh no, missional is like, you know, you need to wear certain clothes or have certain outreach or you need, you know, it's just, that's how some people see the word.
I'm hearing incarnational come up more and more too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. It's true.
Like, I mean, the guys are like, okay, now that everybody has watered down missional, I have to come up with another word to give a picture of what this really is. And so I think incarnational is on the rise, predicted here on the New Churches podcast.
Right. And that's why, I mean, the heart of this course, the heart of that module, the heart of what JR is trying to get at here is just, we want to help you reach your community for Christ, right? We want to help you equip and disciple your people to know how to engage this lost world with the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it is. I mean, Christopher Wright says it like this: missional is to the word mission as fictional is to the word fiction. Right? Right, because so many times we think missional is, oh yeah, it's a trend, right? Or it's something that's it's a fad, but really it's missional is to the word mission as fictional as to the word fiction. So be sure to learn more about this on this course. And if you purchase it before 11:59 Central Time tonight, right, that is tonight being August the 12th, and use the code EveryCourse20Off, that's EveryCourse and the number 20 off, If you use that coupon code, then you'll get a copy of The Church's Movement, a copy of Planting Missional Churches, and that coupon will get you a 20% off any course at newchurches.com. And if you join Plus Membership as well, which is about $34 a month, or you can pay annually and become a charter member, then you'll actually get a 25% coupon as well on top of that. So that's 45% off the course.
That's all.
Only by tonight.
Only tonight.
Yeah, only tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for listening into Missional Church Multiplication Week.
I'm kind of sad.
We will be back next week. Hey, but you know what? It's episode 93 and episode 100, 99 and 100 is coming.
All right.
Yeah. So be sure to get your questions in and we'll get back to answering your questions next week on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.